The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations shall call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My soul, my spirit, and my Savior. And isn't that what celebrations like this are all about in the Catholic Church? Our soul, our spirit, and the glory of God, our Savior. Our church has three great liturgical solemnities in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The first one is December the 8th, the Immaculate Conception, and this is the preparation of her mission here on earth. That's how we can look at that. The second one is January the 1st, her Divine Motherhood, which is her actual real-life mission here on earth. And then there's today, her Assumption into Heaven, August the 15th, in which the Mother of God was taken up into heaven, body and soul, after her earthly mission or life was completed here on earth. We've got before, during, and after. And when we use the term assumed, we mean that Mary was literally taken up into heaven. And there is Old Testament precedents for this, in that Enoch and Elias were taken up into heaven, body and soul. And some even say Moses was taken up there because they've never found his grave. This is well documented in Scripture, but the text is kind of unclear on that. So there are some Scripture scholars that say he was taken up into heaven. Going back as far as we can remember, the tradition of our Catholic Church teaches that Mary, at her death, like Enoch and Elijah, was taken up body and soul into heaven. And nowhere on this earth have they ever found the grave that contains Mary. We don't even have relics of her body parts similar to what we have with saints. Is this documented in Holy Scripture? Well, yes and no. No, the actual historical event of Mary's assumption into heaven is not recorded in Holy Scripture. However, the Bible does indicate that her place in heaven, does indicate her place in heaven, and we can see this in the book of Revelation where John records his sighting of the Ark of God. John describes that Ark, and he describes this none other than as Mary, because she gives birth to a son who is none other than Jesus. And just as we heard in today's reading, a great and wondrous sign appeared in the heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. So where did John see Mary? In heaven. So just exactly who is Mary and how does she fit into our lives today? Well, I'm going to make the argument that she is the most perfect example of what happens to a person who fully places their faith and trust in the Lord. Everything that we wish to be in Christ, Mary already is. And why is this? Because she surrendered. She surrendered her will to the will of God. And this is just one aspect of what Catholicism is, intellect and will. We spend our lives learning our faith, and then we put into action what we have learned through our will. Follow Mary. She will lead you directly to her son. Mary was saturated with the Spirit of Christ, and yes, her soul, her spirit, her entire being, and her presence did deeply and greatly, with a holy seriousness of purpose, magnify the Lord. Mary's faith was so deeply embedded within her that not even that horrifying event that happened on Calvary could shake it. Mary stayed faithful. She always stayed faithful. Many changes in her lives, such as what we saw on Calvary, she stayed faithful. No matter how things changed, she stayed faithful. I cannot emphasize staying faithful enough. As a matter of fact, this trusting faithfulness of hers still echoes today. And if we are intellectually honest, we still recognize what her Christian life essentially was, a life dedicated totally and completely to Jesus Christ. Her son, Jesus, was her way of life. And this is what Catholicism is, a way of life. Follow Mary. She'll lead you directly to her son. Now, I have spent a good deal of my life in a very rough and tumble world with a lot of rough and tumble men. I worked on a tugboat. I logged for a lot of years. I used to fight forest fires. I was a heavy equipment operator. And most of the people here know that I'm also a retired police officer of 30 years. And I have seen, if not have been involved in just about anything you can imagine. And I can assume that you can imagine the language, the jokes, the horsing around, the roughhousing, and the general environment of a bunch of hardworking men cooped up for long periods of time in the logging camps of the Olympic Peninsula or in a galley on a tugboat floating around Puget Sound. And I have to tell you that I'm very, very hesitant to compare my life to the life of the apostles, also a bunch of tough and hardworking men. But they had something then which we have now. And that is Mary, the Mother of God. And I can only assume that Mary brought a quiet, calm, holy, and settled spirit into their lives, as many a times she did for me. She was given a daily place in the trials and the labors and distresses of their lives. And this is really significant because she was there as they were preparing themselves for their perilous mission or journey out into this less than perfect world, similar to what we live in today. And there she was, right there in their midst. Follow Mary. There are many people in our society today who simply don't get it. Or they out and out reject what God has so generously offered because they are distracted by or attracted to the world's barnacles. And anybody that lives in Alaska knows what a barnacle is. You know, they kind of attach themselves and they hang on and they won't let go. And then you got to kind of scrub them off. And you see scrubbing doesn't always work. And then you start chipping them off. And parts of whatever they're attached to start coming with them, right? So they weigh you down. They really weigh you down and kind of distract you a little bit. And because of this barnacle influence, let's say, many make the mistake of equating what we might call the Madonna of the entertainment world, who sings to us, to the Madonna of the heavens, the Mother of God, to whom we and to whom the angels sing. There's not a barnacle attached to Mary, and if we stay attached to Mary, there won't be a barnacle attached to us. Follow Mary, because she is the exact opposite of some of the female icons held in great esteem by the world today. Mary proclaims the greatness of the Lord because the Almighty has done great things for her, while some of the other false and plastic Madonnas of our cultural wasteland proclaim the greatness of themselves as they fade into a cultural nothingness. They're soon forgotten. Where'd they go? Who are they? More than ever today, the human body stands at the center of the world. It is abused, it is tortured, and it is desecrated to the point that mass confusion reigns about what is expected from those less than perfect. And that is less than perfect by the standards set by the world, not by Mary. Today, the body is adulated, it is pampered, it is deified, and it is exhibited to attract others to that which is not from God. And this has had a devastating effect on our society over the years, especially with the young who are taught to believe that their youth must last forever or they will be rejected. Why, you've heard this before, why is it all the young spend so much time trying to look older while all the old try to spend so much trying to look younger? You know, this results in, and it's really true, it happens, we can see it all around you. This results in sick and spirit-killing storms of temptations of the mind and the heart and mass confusion. And in these storms, we and our young have forgotten heaven, and we don't know who to follow. One day it's this fad, the next day it's this fad. Mass confusion reigns. We and our immediate ancestors have waded through a lot of horror. We've waded through the blood of two world wars, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. We fought the Cold War. We fought the drug war, the war against our pre-born American citizens in the womb, and not to mention innumerable other conflicts, such as domestic violence and gruesome horrors too numerous to mention. We fight the soul-killing war against pornography, and the world today hardly as it is as it ever was before. A veil of tears. So where's our hope gone? Out of this vast, desolate, spiritual wastelands exists one of the most remarkable people we may ever encounter, Mary, the Queen of Peace. I wonder what would have happened had Mary been in the galley on the tugboats I was working on, or the logging camps in the mess halls of the logging camps, or made her presence felt over the 30 years I worked in the society I just described. I wondered just what would have happened. It just seems to me that the more noise and clamor and confusion that you see around Jesus and in our lives, the more obvious is the holy, calming silence we've seen around, which surrounds our Queen of Peace, Mary. Follow Mary. She did not live for herself, but she lived for the apostles and she lived for us. And as she was the binding force and the steady center for these guys, so she is for us today. And by standing quiet and confident, she thus reminded them, and thus she reminds us, that power and authority, and not even the daily busyness, distractions, and activity of our lives, must become the center of who they are or who we are. The center of our lives must be the quiet and interior life and the self-service and the selfless service rendered to God and to our families. Mary's humble presence was to make it very evident that our church is to be a home, a place of belonging, where we sustain one another in Christ. The church is to be a community of all who lovingly and faithfully believe in Jesus. And this was simply Mary's purpose, to be the mother of this Christ-centered society, leading us closer to Christ and displaying hope for all who believe. Follow Mary, because she is our mother of mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So today, on this feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul into heaven, may we, with a very confident faith, serve and believe Jesus, as did Mary, and thus magnify the Lord by believing in our hearts that which we will momentarily proclaim in the Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body, and I believe in life everlasting.